Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kollel, bringing you this week's thought on the Parsha. Besides being Parshas Vayechi, the final Parsha in the Book of Bereishis this week, we also observed a fast day yesterday, the fast known as Asar B'Teves, the 10th of Teves. And the main focus of this fast is that the Babylonian army, commanded by their king, Nebuchadnezzar, laid siege to the walls surrounding Jerusalem. And this was the beginning of the end of the temple and the destruction of the temple that eventually culminated on Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av. The commentators discuss that there are several other tragedies that occurred in the days surrounding the 10th of Teves, and the translation of the Torah into Greek by the 70 sages is regarded as a tragedy. The death of the prophet of Ezra. There's another event that's discussed as well, which I do not have the time to get into on this brief message, but I want to discuss a little bit about what the idea behind these tragedies are and what they all have to do with each other, that they all occurred at the same time of year. The translation of the Torah into Greek is looked at as a period of great darkness in the world. And some of you may have heard from me in the past the idea that although the Talmud does espouse the idea that it's actually okay to write the Torah in Greek letters, the issue over here was not so much that it was translated into Greek in of itself. The Torah may be translated. And we have many translations into many languages of the written Torah, of the oral Torah, and so on. The problem over here was the fact that it was done by a culture whose primary focus was to just look at the superficiality of the external without focusing on the internal depth of the Torah, just to make this into a work of art. And this is looked at as great darkness, because the idea of darkness is that you have a lot going on, but you just can't see it. It's covered. You're blinded. So you have something there, and you just can't access it. And so the idea of translating the Torah into Greek, under the auspices, by the demand of a Greek, a person who is focused on Greek culture and Greek worldview, is looked at as great darkness from a Jewish point of view, because it imposes the Greek worldview of superficiality, of just looking at the external beauty instead of appreciating the deep spiritual depths that are present. And that's regarded as a tragedy of epic proportions, in that the Torah was reduced to just a superficial work of art. Similarly, the death of Ezra the scribe was the person who led the Jewish people back from Babylon into the land of Israel, is looked at as the end of an era of prophecy, largely. The era of prophecy ended with the building of the Second Temple, and Ezra was the one who transitioned the Jewish people from the First Temple era and the subsequent exile into the Second Temple era. The First Temple had prophecy, the Second Temple did not. And Ezra is looked at as the link, the one who transitioned the Jewish people from one to the other. And so his death is looked at as the end of an era of light, of openness, of connection to God through the vehicle of prophecy. The world, a world that has prophecy, is a world far more connected to God. And with the end of the era of prophecy, it wasn't just that there's no prophets. It's a different world. It's a world that doesn't have that ability to connect to God on the level where individuals can actually be communicated with directly from God. Again, the idea of darkness. And certainly we can understand that the beginning of the siege on Jerusalem, the beginning of the destruction of the First Temple, also reflects that that darkness. The First Temple is the ultimate connection between this world and the higher world. Yes, there was a Second Temple, but the Talmud makes very clear that the Second Temple, in terms of its spiritual connection to heaven, to the spiritual worlds, was far less than the First Temple. And so the First Temple represents the ultimate connection between this world and a higher world. And with the beginning of this siege on Jerusalem, the beginning of the process of destruction certainly is a period of darkness. And it takes place, the 10th of Teves, this fast day, in the depths of winter, right after Hanukkah, really about a week after Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is that time where we have the light that guides us in the darkness. And while a lengthier discussion of that is really necessary, it's not for right now, but the 10th of Teves is the recognition of the fact that is the recognition of the fact that we have, is the recognition of the fact that we have that darkness, and that we have to deal with it and the tragedy of it. And while Hanukkah may give us a light in the darkness and allow us to see God in the darkness, but nonetheless, it is darkness, and right now we focus on that darkness. And that ties into this week's parsha as well. Parshas Vayechi, our sages tell us that the beginning of the parsha does not have the usual space in the Torah that other parshas do. Before the beginning of a new parsha, we have a space in the Torah, a line break, and we do not have that line break at the beginning of this week's parsha. And Rashi comments that this is because, although this parsha begins with the words Vayechi, and he lived, referring to Yaakov, but the parsha focuses on the death of Yaakov and really transitions into the beginning of the book of Shemot, which is the exile. And Rashi tells us that there's no break, there's no space. Rather, it's closed in, right, almost immediately. There's a small space, but it's almost immediately after the end of the previous parsha to signify that with the death of Yaakov, the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people were closed up as they began the exile. And the question is that even after the death of Yaakov, there was still a period of prosperity and happiness for quite a while in Egypt for the Jewish people. As long as the 12 tribes were alive, the Shevatim, things were good, and the real problems only started much later. But the idea and the answer is that although the real servitude and the suffering of the Jewish people started much later, but Yaakov was that link to a higher reality. And as great as the Shevatim were, they did not live on the same level as Yaakov. Yaakov lived on a very, very high plane that the tribes in of themselves were not able to achieve. And as long as Yaakov was alive, even in Egypt, they had a link to a higher world, to a connection to God, which they did not have after Yaakov passed away. And so although Yaakov himself went into exile, went into Egypt, he still lived with that connection to God, even in exile. In a sense, in his own personal world, he was not really in exile. He was really connected to God the whole time, even though he was in a foreign land. With his death, the real experience of exile, which in its deepest form is the lack of connection to God that one experiences when in a state of revelation, when we're not in exile. The exile is really a manifestation of hiddenness of God, of a lack of connection to God. And so that began with the death of Yaakov, even though their physical situation and really their spiritual situation did not fully deteriorate till much later. But that level of connection that they experienced through Yaakov, through Yaakov connecting them, ceased with his death, and the exile really began in earnest with his passing. The lesson for us is that we too live in an exile, we live in a time of darkness, and although we commemorate the 10th of Teves as a time of darkness, a time of suffering, it's our job to try to find God in that darkness, to take that light of Hanukkah that we had just a week and a half ago, and to allow that light to guide us, to know that there are times of revelation and there are times of hiddenness. And even in the times of hiddenness, our job is to be aware that God is hiding, and we need to try to find Him, and we need to try to take the little light that we have in our lives, the times of goodness and the times of revelation, and to let that guide us through the darkness, and to find the connection to God even in the darkness. And that is how we can move through and successfully work through the exile. And on the contrary, by finding God in the darkness, we're able to have a greater appreciation of our relationship than we would have necessarily been able to have when things were going the way we wanted. I hope you enjoy this message, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.